العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We can start by everyone reciting the Rushif one time. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa salli ala Ibrahim wa ala Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's great fadl, He's allowed us to gather again for a very, very noble purpose. And that is to firstly act upon the command of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he instructed us and advised us that on the night of Friday and the day of Friday, then increase and recite abundant salutations, salat and salam upon me. So in an effort to increase as per our normal routine, we alhamdulillah gather for this very, very noble purpose. And we've spoken about over the past few weeks how this is just one, this is alhamdulillah great, but this is just a start. Alhamdulillah, the night of Friday has started from us praying Maghrib Salah today. And from now until tomorrow, we have this golden time where we get more barakat and more reward through the recital of Salat and Salam upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So that's what it is. It's a reminder for that. And we also spoke about the need to fix a time for it, fix an amount for it, sorry, and a time if it helps. But fixing a daily target and a weekly target and a Friday target is the most, you can say, productive way of ensuring that you're always adding to your account. Because the dunya is a world of asbab. So whatever we do, we have to look at what asbab are there that help us get to our aim. The aims of Sharia remain the same, but the means by which we achieve them can change. What does that mean? That means at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, for example, Hajj just went by. وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسَ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا. Announce to the people of Hajj, they will come to you. Allah Ta'ala spoke to Ibrahim alayhi salam when he built the Kaaba, that now call, do adhan and call people for Hajj. So Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, there's nobody here. What's my one voice? Where's it going to go? Who's going to hear? So Allah Ta'ala then told him that your job is to call the adhan, our job is to make other people heed it, for it to reach the ears of other people. So he called that announcement, and subhanAllah, it rung across the world. Allah Ta'ala says, يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا. From now on, people will come on their feet, and they will come on camels. Does that mean now today, since Allah Ta'ala said that, then nobody's allowed to come by plane? Must we all come by feet and camels? So no. The purpose is, the maqsad is to get there for Hajj. And whatever means take you there, then subhanAllah, it becomes not only necessary but also rewarding to use those means. So for someone to go and go through the headache of preparing his passport, for example, and if he has some issues, all that is counted as reward if he's doing it for Hajj. Because in a similar manner, if he was to be doing it for a wrong deed, then he would also be getting sin. Think, subhanAllah, think about this. The Prophet ﷺ once said there are four types of people with regards to wealth. And it really, really shows you how powerful the heart is and how powerful our intentions are. He said that there are four types of people with regards to wealth. The first group are those people who have wealth and they spend it in a righteous manner. They spend it in the right causes. So they get the reward, that wealth becomes a bonus for them. It's not a bad thing. It's actually, that's what it's for. And it's for ni'ma al-malu salih, al-rajul salih. The Prophet ﷺ said, how great is wealth for a pious man? And the Sahaba, the one whom came to Rasulullah ﷺ, they complained, Ya Rasulullah, there are those amongst us, very few of the Sahaba were rich. Many of them were hand to mouth and very needy. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, there are some of us, the rich ones, they, subhanAllah, they get to, they are gaining and amassing tons of reward day in, day out, because they're spending in all these good places. Sadaqah, khairat, upon the poor, upon their families, whatever, in works of deen, whatever it may be, in preparing the armies for jihad, whatever. But subhanAllah, they're acquiring this day in, day out, and we're left behind. So the Prophet ﷺ then advised them that after every fard salah, then you should sit and you should recite 33 times subhanAllah, 33 times alhamdulillah, 33 times Allahu Akbar, and then the fourth kalima, la ilaha illa wahdahu la sharika lah, until the end. So the Sahaba became very happy with this. So we already see, look at their fervence, look at their focus. Their focus is towards the reality and the hereafter, despite the fact that they had their own needs. But khair. The point is then, the rich from amongst the Sahaba came to know of this as well. So they joined in. They started their Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. And then these Sahabi, the ones who were not rich, they came back to the Prophet ﷺ and they said, Ya Rasulullah, now they're doing it as well, give us something else. So the Prophet ﷺ said that this is the fadl of Allah Ta'ala, he can give it to whoever he wishes. So wealth is a tool, if somebody understands what it is. And there's nothing wrong with having millions in someone's bank account. Nothing wrong with that. As long as it doesn't seep into his heart. As long as he understands his responsibility and uses it appropriately, it becomes a boon for him rather than a burden. And somebody else only has a few pennies, but the love of wealth is in his heart, then that person is doomed and destroyed. So khair. The point is, he said the first group of people are those who spend their wealth and day in, day out, and they spend in the right places and they get reward for it. The second group are those people who don't have wealth that has such expansive means to be spending so much, but they look at those who do spend in the right avenues, and they, in their hearts, they make the intention, and they wish that if they were given that much wealth, then they would also spend that much wealth as well. They would also spend in the same places, in the right places. The Prophet ﷺ said, these people also get a reward. They are also rewarded for just having the intention, having no means themselves, but just through the intention they receive that reward. And the third group of people are those who are given wealth. Third group are those who are given wealth and they spend in the wrong places. So they acquire sin for that, and they will be liable for that. And one of the questions that we ask before their feet are moved in the Day of Judgment is, where did you spend your wealth? Or they acquired it from haram places. So their matter is that they're destroying themselves. Yeah, they're throwing themselves into destruction. But the fourth, very, very unfortunate group is those who don't have wealth, don't have the means, yet they look at those who do have the means and the wealth, spending in the wrong places, and they wish that, and they have in their hearts the intention that if we were to have that much wealth, and we were to be so free in our existence as well, we would be spending in the same avenues, fulfilling the desires of our nafs, not caring whether it's halal or haram. We would be doing the same thing if we had the same amount of wealth. The Prophet ﷺ said these people will be with those people who they have the desire to be like, and they will get that same sin as well. So nor do they enjoy the wealth in this world, and nor do they, so it's not even that they get to use it at least for a temporary few days in this world. And the hereafter they have to suffer the consequences. This is why, one of the reasons why we gather, and that is that we direct our hearts to the right direction. I mentioned before, in half an hour, it's not possible to learn the entire deen. And if we were to have that's something else, that ta'aleem is very, very important, to know the masail which relate to someone's day in, day out, how to pray salah, how to purify yourself, tahara, from impurities, what are the rights that we have upon each other, what are the rights our parents have, our spouses have, our children have, our employers have, whatever it may be, and even just a person that we meet, another citizen, what rights does he have, what rights does a human being have, what rights does a Muslim have. These are very, very important as well. Alhamdulillah, in our masjid we have daily ta'aleem of this. That needs its own place. But at the same time, it's very, very important to understand that we also need to have our hearts in the right place as well. Because once a heart becomes filled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, truly, then all this becomes easy. Then a person doesn't need, he's not running away from advice, he's looking for whatever gem he can find and whatever nugget he can find to apply to his life. And it becomes, and then subhanallah, once someone's focus, balaman aslama wajahahu lillah, once someone's focus becomes towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this true sense, then the Prophet ﷺ narrates in a hadith al-Qudsi, which is the words of Allah through the tongue of the Prophet ﷺ. He says that Allah ta'ala says that, it's a very famous hadith, we'll have heard it, that my servant does not draw near to me by a handspan, except that I come to him an arm's width. And until the end, at the end of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that, and when my servant comes to me walking, I come to him running. So it's once someone takes one step in that direction, subhanAllah, there is no end to that, no end to how close he can get. And it's just up to his himmat and his determination, which determines how far he can go. So there, subhanAllah, in the court of Allah Ta'ala, there's no loss. And an example, perhaps we can use to demonstrate that, is that if in this world, just recently we had somebody in our uncle's masjid down south, who was one day before or one day after they received their exam results for the final year in medical school, and they were healthy, fit, everything, subhanAllah, and that night was determined, decreed, that they would return back to the mercy of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, what use was all those years? Not, it wasn't wrong for him to do it, but I'm just saying in terms of the benefit which he was able to acquire, all his hard work and labor and toil came to no use. He wasn't able to benefit from it in any way. Whereas, if somebody sits in a Qur'an class and he starts and he has an intention of doing hifz, and the ustad teaches him Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, he learns Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and he passes away on that very night, then what happens? Prophet ﷺ said on the Day of Judgment, he will be raised amongst the Huffaz. He will be raised amongst the Huffaz. An angel will teach him in his qabr the rest of the Qur'an Kareem. We have again another relative who, from a couple of generations ago, after he passed away, he started his hifz at the age of 60. At the age of 60, he started his hifz. So our great grandmother, she said to him that, you know, what is this a time to start? You know, you already become so weak, and your children are already hafid. What's the need for you to become hafid? So he said that my Allah says that if I pass away whilst in the process of acquiring the knowledge of the Quran in my heart and becoming hafid, then I will be raised amongst the huffaz. And so he passed away. I think he'd memorized 15 or 16 ajza of the Qur'an al-Kareem. And somebody saw him in a dream a week after, one of his other relatives, that waqi, he's in a grave and there's someone who's teaching the Qur'an al-Kareem. So khair, but we already knew this was the case because the Prophet ﷺ told us, but it is just a testament to his truth and his sadaqat. But the point is, inshallah, we need to fix our direction and we need to make an effort. This is an effort to make Allah Ta'ala's love and His Rasul Sallallahu's love in our hearts to be overpowering and dominant over everything else. That is one of the main purposes for which we sit. And in that regard, we, alhamdulillah, have covered some stories of the Sahaba to show us how it's done. And the reason for that is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that you will see lots of different types of people until the Day of Judgment. In my ummah, there will be lots of different groups of people come out, and they will all be destroyed except for one group. So the Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, who are that saved group? So the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that they are those who are ma ana alayhi wa ashabi, those who are on my way and the way of my Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Meaning that the Prophet ﷺ is the primary standard. This is, he gives you the principles of what Allah Ta'ala wants. And then the Sahaba radiallahu anhum show us how to act upon that. Very, very important. How to act upon that. Because the Prophet ﷺ is one man. And he has some special qualities. Being a Nabi of Allah, being the final Nabi of Allah, there are some things which cannot be equated to us. For example, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned to keep the road straight because he said that I can see behind my back. Another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that he woke up and he was resting and he got up and prayed salah. And then he mentioned that inna aynaya tanam wa la yanamu qalbi. My heart, my eyes close, my eyes go to sleep, but my heart never sleeps. So his, and many of the other examples. In his life, multiple times his chest was opened up in front of others and his heart was taken out by angels and cleaned and washed and put back inside. So the Prophet ﷺ has some things which are very, very exclusive to him. However, he is still, remember we spoke about this 2 weeks ago, he is still a human being anatomically. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. This is a very important point because there is a lot of imbalance in this. Some people, in their love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have taken him so high that it's beyond the limits set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are others who show not enough regard where they lower him according to his status, which is also very, very dangerous. And this imbalance was something which has occurred in the previous ummahs as well. In Surah Fatiha we make dua, Ya Allah, غَيْرُ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. O Allah, we ask you, don't make us from those upon whom your anger has befallen upon and those who have been laid astray. So who are these two groups? Al-Maghdubi alayhim refers to those who showed no respect and and they did not humble themselves before Allah Ta'ala and His messengers. They refers to the Banu Israel who, as I've explained earlier as well, the ones who killed the Anbiya, na'udhu billah, and murdered them for doing nothing except calling them towards Tawheed and towards Risala. And then there were those who showed so much reverence for the Anbiya that they raised them towards a level which was only befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is in reference to the majority of them. It refers to the Christians where they raised Isa alayhi salam to such a level that they made him equal to the level of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is wrong as well. So the balance is where the Shariat is. The deen of Islam is a very, very balanced deen. So as I say, one thing is the Prophet's rank, which no one can understand. that there are some things which are very exclusive to him, and there are other things which show his human side. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشْرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. His anatomy and his body was still of a human being, which is why, for example, during the battle of Khandaq, a Sahabi came, Ya Rasulullah, we haven't ate for days. We haven't ate for days and we're being sieged and we're under constant fear. We're in battle, we're in a war, and we are surrounded by much larger number of armies that are much greater in number than us. And at the same time, we can't find anything to keep our back straight. So he lifted his shirt and he showed the Prophet ﷺ a stone which he had tied to his stomach to keep himself straight. Because otherwise his spine was falling off due to the weakness that he had. At that point, the Prophet ﷺ, we know a very famous story, he raised his garment also, and the Prophet ﷺ didn't require one, but he required two stones to keep himself straight. So that was the sacrifice which he made. And the reason for this, Allah Ta'ala says, is that he says, first, the Quran Kim talks about the reason why people rejected the Anbiya. It says that they said, "In antum illa basharum mithluna." You're just people, human beings, men like us. Allah Ta'ala says that there's a reason why we made them human beings. That لو كان في الأرض ملائكة يمشون. If there were angels on the earth, we would have sent an angel as a messenger. But because he's a human being, then it gives everyone a role model. Otherwise, if Allah Ta'ala sent such a being which didn't need to eat or sleep, or didn't need to rest, or had no, you know, demands of a human being and human being's body, then whenever it would do something, then people would say that, well, he's not a human being. What does this person know? Or how can he ever relate to us? So Allah Ta'ala, and by His mercy, sent someone who we could relate to. And that was the sort of human side of the Prophet ﷺ. However, his rank is extremely, extremely high. And that is where the balance of the Sharia lies. So here the point was, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the Prophet ﷺ is on his own level. There is these exclusive things. So at times, we need to understand how do we act upon the Sunnah by the implementation of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Why? Because they saw what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's actions were, and on top of that, the way they acted upon the Sharia, because they were all in different tabiats and all had different backgrounds, then they had the approval and the certificate from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "All of my Sahaba are like stars, so whichever of them you follow, you will attain guidance." What does that mean? It means that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was one Nabi of Allah, final and most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he has his one situation and background. Whereas from amongst us, there are those that are men, those that are women, those that are rich, poor, those that are literate, those that are illiterate, those that work businesses, those that work as employees. There's so many variating factors between each and every single one of us. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were a jama'at which Allah Ta'ala had determined would show us that according to all these situations, how does a person act upon the deen? How did the rich, like Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu and Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu anhu, how did they spend their lives and how did they act upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the wealth which that they had? And for those who are in a more difficult situation, how did Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, what was his sacrifices that he made, and other sahaba as well, many of them, ashabi kuffa, where they had nothing and they were merely left to whatever came. If they had something to eat, they would eat. And if they had nothing to eat, then they would exercise patience for days on end. So that's one example. Then you had the Sahaba, Sahabiyat as well. And then you had the Ahlul Bayt, subhanallah, who told us those things about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which the normal Sahaba, Aam, and the common Sahaba could not tell us. And the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers, the holy wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they told us those things which neither the Ahlul Bayt nor the rest of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum could tell us. So whoever takes his deen from the Sahaba, and that includes the common Sahaba, the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, and the Ahlul Bayt, then he's taken the entire full portion of the deen. And whoever chooses and selects between them, then he has destroyed himself because he's taken only part and he's left under part of the deen. So khair, as I say, the point of that was for us to remind ourselves that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum show us what is it that we need to be. What's the standard? What is the level which is demanded and which is required for us to really act upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, if we leave it to ourselves, then we just, alhamdulillah, we keep our fast in Ramadan and we come for salah and we think, alhamdulillah, that's it. The doors of Jannah are wide open for me. Oh, how come the help of Allah Ta'ala is not coming for me? This person annoyed me. Why is Allah Ta'ala not turning the earth upside down on him? Why are angels not coming and making everything easy for me? This can happen naturally, because when you compare yourself to kufr, then you're going to always see yourself as being pious. And there was a friend of mine, once we were talking about the the exertion and the effort which our elders used to make in the month of Ramadan, the extreme, subhanAllah, amount of worship they would do and how they would manage their time. And it was very, very humbling for him as well, especially for me always. And he said that, I'm so glad we spoke about this today, because for the past couple of weeks since Ramadan has started, I've felt like I'm so pious from just for the simple fact that I'm fasting. Because he was in a group of people, not all of his friends were fasting, which is obviously a fard, it's an obligation to fast. But he said that because of the fact that I was fasting amongst them, that I was made to started to feel that I am extremely pious and that I've done all that's required from me. But he says, now I realize that there's still so much to go. And if you look at anyone that subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala has taken, accepted, and who is very, very close to Allah Ta'ala, then they have this habit that they always look at what was the habits of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and it keeps them grounded and allows them to progress further and further towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the understanding. So inshallah today, we will continue from where we left off last time, and that is the story of Ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, who's drinking the blood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was bled by cupping, the blood was given to Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu to bury. He returned and informed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the blood had been disposed of. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam inquired, "What did you do with it?" Ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu said that I drank it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remarked that the person who has my blood in his body cannot be touched by the fire of hell. Many will be destroyed by you, and you will be destroyed. Everything coming out of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's body is clean. Remember what I said to you, the Prophet ﷺ is a human being, but there's these specialties, and this is one of those things. Everything coming out of Rasulullah ﷺ's body is clean. No doubt, therefore, remains in understanding Ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu's action. The last words of Rasulullah ﷺ, however, predict the battle for power, which Ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu had to fight with Yazid and Abdul Malik, and Ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu was martyred in one of these battles. Even at the time of Ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah ﷺ had remarked that he was a sheep among the cloaked wolves. SubhanAllah. So, very straightforward, that when the Prophet, when the Sahaba said that, "Bi abi anta wa ummi ya Rasulullah," may our parents be sacrificed for you, this is what that level of love was. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu loses his teeth and drinks blood. Well, during the Battle of Uhud, when at one time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was fiercely attacked by the enemy, and two lengths of the helmet worn by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were struck deep into his head or face, Abu Bakr and Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu ran to help him. Abu Ubaidah started pulling out the links with his teeth. By the time one of the links was out, Abu Ubaidah had lost a tooth. Without minding this, he again used his teeth to pull out the other link as well. He succeeded in taking out that one too, but he had to lose another tooth in the effort. When the links were drawn out, the blood began to ooze out from the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's body. Malik ibn Sinan radiallahu anhu, the father of Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu, sucked the blood and swallowed it. At this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam remarked, "The fire of hell cannot touch that person who has my blood mixed with his." Zayd radiallahu anhu refuses to go with his father. I think we did this one. We'll move on. Sa'd radiallahu anhu's message for the Muslims. During the Battle of Uhud, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam inquired, "What about Sa'd? I don't know how things have gone with him." One of the Sahaba was sent to look for him. He went to the place where the bodies of the shuhada, the martyrs, lay. He called out Sa'd radiallahu anhu's name to know if he was alive. At one place, whilst he was announcing that he was deputed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to inquire about Sa'd ibn Rabi', he heard a feeble voice. He turned to that direction and found Sa'd radiallahu anhu lying among the martyrs and about to breathe his last. Sa'd radiallahu anhu said, "Convey my salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, O Nabi of Allah, may Allah grant you on my behalf a reward more exalted and more handsome than the one Allah has granted a Nabi on behalf of any of his followers. And tell my Muslim brothers that nothing will absolve you from blame on the Day of Judgment if the enemy succeeds in reaching the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before all of you have fallen." With these words, Sa'd radiallahu anhu drew his last breath and passed on to the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala, فَجَزَاهُ اللَّهُ عَنَّا أَفْضَلَ مَا جَزَى صَحَابِيًا عَنْ أُمَّةِ نَبِيِّهِ. The author says, "May Allah Ta'ala grant you on my behalf a reward more exalted and more handsome than the one that Allah Ta'ala has granted a Nabi on behalf of any of his followers." As a matter of fact, the Sahaba have given true proof of their devotion to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. While they suffered wound after wound and were on their last breath, They had no complaint nor wish on their lips and could not think of anything else except about the safety and welfare of the Prophet ﷺ. Would that a sinner like me be blessed with an atom of the love the Sahaba bore for Rasulullah ﷺ? A woman passes away on seeing the Prophet ﷺ's grave. A woman came to Aisha the Anha and said, "Take me to the grave of Rasulullah ﷺ so that I may be blessed with its sight." Aisha the Anha opened the blessed room and let her in. The woman on seeing the grave started crying in love and fear and love and memory of Rasulullah. In fact, she wept so bitterly and incessantly that she passed away there and then. The blessed lady recollected the happy days when the Prophet was with them, and then the pangs of separation proved fatal for her. Can history produce a parallel to such love and devotion? May Allah Ta'ala grant us that love and that devotion as well. We will, inshallah, also in the Day of Judgment all be raised, and we will all, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala take us there with afiyah, arrive at the Hawd al-Kawthar where we will meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At that point, there will be one very, very unfortunate group of people who will be stopped from coming close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Angels will come in between and stop them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as rahmatul lil alameen, as his love and his compassion for his ummah knows no bounds, he will ask. He will question the angels and he will try and stop them from blocking anyone from coming towards him. So he will say that these are my ummatis. I can recognize them because their body parts are shining from the signs of wudu, for example. The angels will reply that you do not know, O Nabi of Allah, that after you left this world, what sort of innovations they were involved in, what sort of additions they made to the deen, what sort of, these are my own words, but what sort of modernizing they try to do of the deen and updating they try to do of the deen, and this is why they're being stopped. At that point, the Prophet ﷺ will step back because he knows that this would have been a cause for leading many other people astray as well. And so he will no longer remain incessant on making sure that those people also reach him as well. So we learn that, again, goes back to that point. If we want the Prophet ﷺ, it's very straightforward what we have to do. We need to build our connection with the Prophet ﷺ through abundant recital of the Durood Sharif and through bringing the Sunnah into our lives. Very, very straightforward. This is the path towards becoming the Mahmoob of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and towards gaining closeness and proximity to the Prophet ﷺ. Why? In this example, if somebody is acting upon the Sunnah, then he is saved from all bid'ah. There's no room left for bid'ah to come. Bid'ah comes into someone's life when he abandons or doesn't give the Sunnah its due right and importance. Then he leaves himself exposed. So a very easy, you can say, way. And another benefit of acting upon the Sunnah is it keeps a person, subhanAllah, on away from any sort of deviant acts and any sort of additions and innovations in the deen, subhanAllah. So may Allah Ta'ala grant us that the tawfiq to do so. And then, inshallah, on the Day of Judgment, then we will also be very lucky. And I'll give you one last word before we do our Durushi Majlis, and that is, the Prophet ﷺ also told us that towards the last days and the end of times, a time will come when holding on to the deen will be like holding on to coals, holding on to hot coals. And he said that, so that he gave us this prophecy from beforehand, that time will come where it will be difficult, which is why before we never understood these things, but now it's become clear to us. Why is it that our scholars, our elders, why do they emphasize so much on majalis and gatherings like these? What's the need for these? You know, it should be so straightforward that you know what to do, so you just act upon it. But no, these sort of things give a person himmat and direction and remind them, because he's surrounded by fitna and he's surrounded by difficulties. Allah Ta'ala says, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amtaqullaha wa kunu ma sadiqin." O believers, fear Allah and be with the righteous. Seek the company of the righteous ones. And the Prophet ﷺ gave us a principle by which we can examine our gatherings and who we mix with and who we spend our time with and our company. He said that being alone, solitude, is better than bad company. Being by yourself, being alone, secluded by yourself is better. Some people say, "Oh, I'm alone for days, it gets boring." Being alone is better than being in bad company. And then, وَالْجَلِيسُ الصَّالِحِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْوَحْدَةِ. Good company and righteous, pious company is better than being alone. So we learned that we should try and minimize as much as we can any company which is not righteous. There is a need, naturally there is a need to go out and to mix and to operate in the dunya. That's why we're here. We have our responsibilities, but we should not. We should only do so to an extent that is restricted to necessity. You know, subject to condition and necessity. And thereafter, we should seek these company and these majalis so that we can go back on to and remind ourselves of being on the right track. And this makes a, this helps greatly in achieving the goal and in making sure that this love in our heart flourishes and grows, and that we said holding on to the deen becomes easier. Because when you surrender yourself with the like-minded people, then whatever mission you have becomes a lot more easier to do, and to bear with any difficulties in that way becomes very easy. And the second thing the Prophet ﷺ said, that the deen certainly started off as being strange. The deen of Islam, بَدَى الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبٌ وَسَيَعُودُ كَمَا بَدَى. The deen started off as being very strange. It came out of nowhere. It came in the middle of the most jahil and the most, you can say the worst people in the world at that time. And so it came out in a very strange, and it stood out from day one. And then it gained its dominance, and the Prophet ﷺ said, وَسَيَعُودُ كُمَا بَدَأَ, and it will go back to being strange as well towards the end of times. فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَاء. So glad tidings to the strange ones, the strangers, those everyone looks at, oh, him, the guys, the ones with the beards, the ones with the hats and the topis, and the ones who pray five times a day. Prophet ﷺ said, good news to those people, glad tidings to them, that for the little bit of sabr that they have to exercise, subhanAllah, they have a lot that's in store for them in the hereafter. May Allah Ta'ala give us and bless us to always remain in good and righteous company wherever we may be, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to implement the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every aspect of our lives, recite abundant durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah ta'ala allow us to go to Hawd al-Kawthar while he is pleased with us, and may Allah ta'ala take us from this world in the best of states and grant us khusn al-hatima. Inshallah, we'll start with durood sharif. So yes, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى سلام على المرسلين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وانزل المقد المقرب عندك اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صل على محمد وارض عني لا تسخط بعده أبدا اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما بارك على إبراهيم وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك رسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك رسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولها وعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته، وجزه عنا ما هو أهله، وجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبينا قومه ورسولا عن أمته، وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل علينا معهم. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك علينا معهم. صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي. اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلتها على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي 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 وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات الطيبات والصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات لله الطيبات والصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار. التحيات لله الزاكيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا، وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم اغفر لي واهدني. التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله التحيات لله الصلوات لله. لله الزاكيات لله السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله وشهدت أن محمد رسول الله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمد عبده ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد عبد الله ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله بسم الله والسلام على 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 رسول الله إن شاء الله we'll continue with the dua following the adhan. I think it's adhan time. Just before we conclude with dua, one important point that I missed out mentioning. I ended on the fact the Prophet ﷺ said that the end of times you will be strange and the need that it will be difficult to act upon the deen. The Prophet ﷺ also said that towards the end of the times, then people will start the morning as Muslims and they will enter into the evening as without their iman. And people will enter into the evening with iman and leave in the morning without iman. So in these days, you, especially with Muharram, you will see possibly a lot of wrong things being said and spoken about on social media. You should be very, very careful and protect your iman and ensure you inform others as well, your close ones and your young ones, not to ever get comment on anything when it ever comes against the Sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah, Allah, fi ashabi, fear Allah, twice, fear Allah, aha, and this is for the sake of Allah. Imagine a father says to his son, Allah ta'ala ki waste, do something. To hear the Prophet ﷺ saying, for Allah, fear Allah, with regards to my companions, my sahaba, don't take them as objects of ridicule and mockery after me. And whoever loves them, he loves them because of his love for me. And whoever has any dislike towards them, then he has a dislike and his hatred towards them for his hatred and dislike towards me. So that thing, that's enough of a lesson to not engage in such things. And remember that social media, obviously, if you think about pious people, then most of them will not be wasting their time on social media, so it leaves the lower sort of and the so you can say the more sinful people to be on social media. If you look at the ratio of Muslims to kuffar in the world, then we know there's more kuffar than Muslims in the world. And if you look at again how many of those Muslims are true Muslims, then that goes down as well. So if it's more, you know, it's just all noise. Is what I'm trying to say. The social media is a fitna in that sense, a very, very great fitna. So be very, very careful not to let anyone's iman be spoiled. And keep in mind the rank of the Sahaba. May Allah Ta'ala give us all that. Very important to mention that point. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala Sayyidina Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma ahdina as-sirat al-mustaqeem. Allahumma ahdina as-sirat al-mustaqeem. Allahumma ahdina as-sirat al-mustaqeem. Sirat al-ladhina anamta alayhim ghayril maghdubi alayhim wa al-dhalin. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-huda wa al-tuqa wa al-afafa wa al-ghina. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. Ya musarrif al-qulub, sarrif qulubana ila ta'atik. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم آت أنفسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها مولاها اللهم اجعل وساوس قلوبنا خشيتك وذكرك واجعل همتنا وهوانا فيما تحب وترضى اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل عاقبتنا خيرا من الأولى اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى درجة المكان جنة الخلد اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين وارحم موتانا يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم من أحييت منا فأحي على الإسلام ومن توفيت منا فتوفه على الإيمان اللهم انجي إخواننا المستضعفين المظلومين في غزة وفي فلسطين اللهم انجي إخواننا المستضعفين المظلومين المظلومين في غزة وفي فلسطين وفي سائر بلاد العالم يا رب العالمين. اللهم كن لهم معينا وظهيرا واجعل لهم من لدنك سلطانا ونصيرا. اللهم قاتل الذين يصدون عن سبيلك ويكذبون رسلك ويقاتلون أولياءك. اللهم شتت شملهم ومزق جمعهم ودمر ديارهم. اللهم خذهم أخذ عزيز مقتدر. اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم وزلزل أقدامهم وأنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك من نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. آمين. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.